We're using that. What did you do in the mic?
I just nearly coughed.
Right. You do the cough then. It's that.
Mm.
Have you ever heard my podcast?
Yeah, you start it like that.
Yeah. Okay, you start it. Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast.
That's you. Okay.
This is the Luke Kidgel podcast.
It's already the worst start, and this is exactly what I expected getting you on. Welcome to chapter 92 of Memoirs of a White Guy featuring, if you can't already tell, Radio Mike.
Here he is in the flesh for the first time.
In the flesh. Well, in the ears, in on the your
ear,
screens.
In the ear flesh.
Yeah.
I'm actually hard of hearing, so I don't know how much ear flesh I have.
You anyway, actually?
Yeah.
And you work on radio.
I was talking to someone in radio the other week and I was like, if I lose my hearing fully, there is literally no job that I can do in radio. Literally. So no,
I know, because it's an audio medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It's not a deterrent. I still listen to music really loud on my headphones. Like,
what would
loud.
You do if you didn't do radio?
Nothing.
Jigsaw puzzles. Because yeah. That's all Mike does during the day. So, for those who don't listen to our radio show, a lot of people may be listening to this who have never heard of you, Mike.
Yes.
Who is Radio Mike? Okay. My brief introduction will be Mike is the button pusher on the Luke and Lewis radio show.
Yep.
You produce Willosophy, Will Anderson's podcast. Help produce or lead producer.
Yep.
Yep.
One of them. I work it with Will on his podcast.
You are assistant producer on the Hamish and Andy podcast this year.
Yes.
And what else do you do?
I work across with this company, SCA, across a lot of like stuff that they do as well.
You're literally like the only man who works in radio. You
what
just
do
every show.
Yeah. There's a running gag that I produce every podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're looking, I got your back.
That's the problem, though. I feel like, you know, it used to be just Luke and Lewis, and now suddenly all these great opportunities have come, and, you know. Do you think that was because of our show? We were the launching pad for Radio Mike's career.
I think, yeah, like, well, it's funny because before your show, I was just kind of here.
You were just
like,
Mike.
I was just Mike. Yeah. I was Michael. People Michael. Called me Michael.
They didn't even bother to give you a nickname.
I wasn't even introducing myself as Mike until your show started. And
is it because we started calling you Mike?
Well, I think like as I worked with Hamish and Andy and they started calling me Mike, you guys were calling me Mike. And then all of a sudden I was like, guys, I think I finally figured out who I am. I'm Mike.
It took you 23 years to find your identity as a Mike.
The weird part is my dad's been calling me Mike my whole life.
Oh, yeah. And that didn't really feel right until we started calling you.
Didn't feel right.
Now, I want to talk about, so how did you come up with Radio Mike then? Okay, no, before we tell that story,
yes.
I think so it was so weird. So like, here's how it happened. Here's how we met. Right, we need to do the origin story of how Lewis and I met Mike. I still remember the day.
I do too, very vividly.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the best days.
I'm sure it was for you. To me, it was just, you know, like every other.
Okay.
Meeting really influential people who was going to... Nah.
Did you want a Listerine pocket pack just while we're here, just to freshen your breath?
Yeah, this is so Memoirs of a White Guy.
Yeah, so I love Listerine pocket packs. I just think they're a great way to freshen
If you don't know
breath.
What they are, they're like little mint strips that dissolve on your tongue. And I'll just put them in now.
Mmm. And then it's done. It's done as quickly as it started.
If you thought I was white, meet Mike. Now, the day we met, so we found out that we got our Triple M Modern Digital show, Luke and Lewis for Lunch, back in October last year. And we knew a guy called James because I knew him through Sin, the community radio station here in Melbourne. I'd met him like 3 years ago.
Sorry, I've tangled myself up in the headphones cord and I'm... All right,
for someone who works in radio, you're very unprofessional on air and off, like now.
All right, go on. So we knew James.
We knew James Blake, who is now assistant producing Kennedy Malloy, the Triple M Drive show at the moment.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was just a mere button pusher, right? Mm-hmm. And James was kind of floating around the building, doing kind of what you do now, but you do a bit more stuff than he was doing. But anyway, so you two kind of had the same role. And then they were like, so who do you want as your panel operator? Because they're like, we can't do it. We don't know. I still don't know how a radio show goes to air. And I've been doing it for 8 months.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. Mike does it. It's not my job. Right?
Does it with great difficulty.
Yeah. If you've ever listened to the show, you'd know. Not even Mike really knows. But so we were like, oh, can we please? Because then we'd never met Mike yet. So we're like, can we please have James? We only know James. We only want James. Because James got our memes, used to dab at us in the hallways.
Yeah.
And as the new guy, James was the only person we knew in the building. We knew Dave Cameron, the boss. We knew like three people, James and I knew like Jack Post from Sin. And I was like, well, Jack Post is doing Hamish and Andy. I don't think he can paddle our show.
And can I just add, probably around this point, James and I, I know James from Sin.
We're becoming friends.
We also went to the same school together, not in the same year. And James and I were like, James was similar, like the only person I knew in this.
Well, you're both young. James is what, like 21 and you're 23? Mm. So, yeah, and there's actually not that many people under 25 who work here.
For a long time, me and James and these other two people were probably the only under 25 or 26.
Yeah, and they're even still now. And then it's like me and Lewis and then there's not that many other young people.
Ever since you guys... No, I feel like there's a few more now, but you're right. It's
Josh and Zach. There's a few other shows that are quite young, like development shows.
But yeah.
We were like the first in the building of the development kind of shows that SCA have started. So then we were like begging like the bosses, like, please give us James. And then they couldn't because James turns out already had this Kennedy Malloy job, I feel like, in the pipeline.
Yeah.
But they couldn't tell us yet.
And I don't think he knew either.
No, he didn't know either. So then they were like, no, don't worry. James has recommended. I think James recommended you.
Oh, cool.
And then I assume that's how it happened because they were like, no, I've got this other guy, Michael. And me and Lewis like, oh my God, this guy's going to be a douchebag. And then we met you and we were like, yep.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
it could have been. Bro, we were so lucky, man. Like, in all honesty, we were so lucky that it was someone who was A, young. We'll freak it out. It'll be some 30-year-old
who's
just coming in to get paid, doesn't give a shit about our show.
Yeah,
like, wouldn't even speak to us, wouldn't be funny on air with us. Because I love that. I'd grown up listening to Hamish and Andy, so I love that relationship they had with Cackling Jack. And just, like, that third guy on the show they could go to, almost like a third party, an adjudicator type thing. And also a punching bag a little bit.
But I think, like, I think that's something that was really, really strong about, like, Hamish and Andy show and a few other
there's
shows.
There's other shows that do it as well.
Yeah, like the supporting cast in radio, which I think like...
Kyle and Jack do it better than anyone. Everyone in their team is like a guy. Like there's intern Pete or whatever.
And I remember listening to like ages ago, the first radio show that I loved as a kid was Matt and Joe. And they had like a few other people floating around. And then obviously Hamish and Andy did it with Jack and Jez. And
yes.
I think it's really interesting when like... other people are kind of like you're kind of learning about what's going on behind the scenes of radio as well.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of mystical to a listener.
And I always wonder if we, because like obviously we clearly were both a lot more passionate than the average Joe Blow in their car listening to it. Mm. I wonder if, because that's what me and you love about radio. Like, oh, I love to hear about all the things that go on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I always wonder though if that's just because we like it more than other people.
Yeah.
I still wonder that. I think some people like, but then I realized as soon as we started our show and then as soon as you started becoming a character in our radio show, like this guy who was there every day. And then I realized, and the way people started reacting to you being in the show was like, more Mike, we love Mike.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, okay, it's not just me. Everyone loves.
Yeah.
It's interesting, I guess.
It kind of evolved naturally through just what was happening off air.
It was you fucking up.
I think like for a long time, like, and just to put it in perspective from where I was,
you actually knew who I was.
Yeah, I knew you and I knew Lewis. And I remember talking to James way before you guys started here. And I think you were doing demos with James. And
no, we were doing demos with Jack Post.
But didn't James do a few for you?
He did do a couple, yeah.
And then James and I, because I hadn't really met Jack then. But James and I were talking about, he's like, oh, you know, there's this development show coming through. It's called Luke and Lewis. And I was like, oh, who are they? And he's like, oh, Luke Kidgel and Lewis Spears. And I was like, is Lewis Spears that Nebs guy? And James was like, yeah, it's Nebs. And I was like, oh, and I remember being like, oh, why are they getting him on? He sucks, right? I actually remember thinking that. Radical change as soon as I met Lewis, though, because he's legitimately one of the funniest guys ever. And like, I knew
nah,
you were funny.
You're just saying that now.
No. Like,
I agree, man. That guy sucks.
I just remember thinking that like Lewis was really controversial, and I was like scared of him. And then
that's what everyone and you know what, I wasn't when I met him. I saw him in those, even in when that was happening. I saw him as this guy who was a nerd in high school. I totally saw through it at the time.
Yeah,
and I've told him that since. I was like, I never bought it that you were like this tough troll or whatever. I was the only thing that I was intimidated by was his influence because he had a following that time. But I wasn't actually like, I was always like, this guy ain't shit. This guy seems like he could be a nice guy, but he's just putting on this like persona or whatever. And then when I met him, obviously like Lewis is lovely. And that's one thing that always shocks people about meeting Lewis is like, oh, he's nice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like Lewis and you and Lewis are honestly two of the most like genuine people I've ever met. Like, well, I'm not just saying that, but like,
he's kissing my ass. He wants to be on next week.
But honestly, to everyone who listens to this, like, the way you guys live your lives was such an eye opener for me. Like, I remember, like, the first week of this show, or like the second week, we went down to like Albert Park Racecourse just to do this, to film a video.
We were filming Lewis training to beat me in a running race. It was like the first arc we did on our show. And an arc for people who aren't ready was like a ongoing joke
storyline,
like, ongoing storyline. Yeah. Like, that went for a month, that one.
Yeah. And I think the best radio shows do them really well.
Yeah.
But
what happened?
Just generally the way you were walking down the street and not caring about what anyone thought, and you'd cross the road without me and wave at me across the street in front of like heaps of people. I was like, who are these two guys? Yeah, so weird.
We're just fucking with you.
Yeah.
But I remember just like, because we didn't know each other, but yet we were forced to work together. And that was literally like in the first 2 weeks, I was like, this could have gone either way. What about if we just never got along?
Oh, yeah. It could have been crap.
Thank God we did.
Yeah. When I started, so I started at the radio station and I was doing overnights. So I was working overnights every weeknight from 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. Mm. And like, I did it for 3 months and I was a zombie and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I wonder if any other work will open up for me. And then I started doing like footy and I started doing a few other shows like around, and then the footy season ended and the night shifts all like dried up and I like had no work and I was like, oh my God, I think I've like lost
You've
my job.
You've just been made redundant.
Yeah, I think I've been made redundant. And I was like...
But you're working at 3RW before SCA, which is... If people don't know, SCA is Fox and Triple M in the same company.
Yeah.
So you're working down near Southern Cross Station
at
3RW.
At uni, I had an amazing connection to a really, really great broadcaster on 3RW. And she was literally one of the most amazing people ever. And she let me come in and work on her show and learn how to panel and learn how to like do phones and stuff. And she was an amazing mentor. And kind of all that experience led me to get the job here at SCA. I was at
SCA. How many years did you volunteer at SCA?
At SCA, I volunteered for 2 years.
I did 6 months max.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years and I did a Simpsons show with my friend. I think it's somewhere still on iTunes, but it was really,
so
really
much
bad.
Deep internet content of Mike from his younger years, which we will talk about later in the podcast.
We'll talk about it later. But just getting to where I was at. So the footy season ended, I had no work, and then all of a sudden I got an email from a person who works here called Maddie saying, hey Michael, we're doing this new show called Luke and Lewis. We need someone to panel it for 2 weeks. Can you do it?
That was a month.
It was 2 weeks, and then James was supposed to do the 2 weeks after.
Right?
And then we got 2 weeks in, and then it was like, oh, James can't do it. Can you do a month? And then 1 month turned into... So 2 weeks turned into a month turned into 3 months.
And even still, in that 2 weeks, like Lewis and I were kind of were like, oh, maybe like we don't need James. Like maybe we don't want... Like not that, because we still have... James actually produces our Sunday show now. So James is already on the team, but like in a different role.
Yeah.
But then even that 2 weeks, we were like loving doing the show with you. And we were like, oh... Well, it doesn't matter, because we never were like, we don't want James now, just Mike. We were just like, it doesn't matter now who we get. If James can't do it, great. If James can do it, great.
Yeah.
But then you just stayed on, and then I guess that's how it happened.
Mm. And like James, heaps of people here have been great, but James is like legitimately one of the best like young producers in the industry at the moment.
Well, he's 21 and he's already assistant producing a national drive show, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, James worked at SCA, like he was employed at SCA.
I know, that's how I knew him. He was like a guy there. All right, so you knew my SCA show.
Yeah, so I knew your SCA show because like...
I did, it was called Luke and Marty.
Utopia. Utopia.
And we did a 10-week show about fantasizing the perfect world.
Because you had both Jack Post and Ryan Shelton on your podcast back then.
And Adam Hills and Denise Scott. Yeah. That's like huge
guests. Do you have Denise Scott on that?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's huge guests for like a community show, radio show. Even still on our show, we're still like topping it at Reese Maston.
Yeah, right?
Which is way better than anyone else.
Reese is the pinnacle.
Because Reese is the king.
I can't believe I've met Reese. Like the other weekend, we all went out.
Do you name drop Reese?
I name drop Reese all the time.
So do I.
I'm like, hey, like I was hanging out with Reese Maston the other night.
I name drop him on my podcast. People listen to this go, oh yeah, Luke doesn't shut up about knowing Reese.
It's funny, like he's actually like,
we text.
He's such a lovely guy.
Yeah.
He's such a great guy.
We're trying to organize a double date with his girlfriend and Emily and I. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Except Reese's girlfriend is vegetarian and she wants to go out to this like veggie restaurant and me and Reese are like, nah.
Dude, I know how you feel. Like one of my best friends is vegan. I'm going to Sydney with him this weekend.
Oh yeah,
just
Alex.
Like, where
good
are we
bloke.
Gonna eat? Yeah, thanks, man. Oh, me or him?
Alex.
Damn. Yeah. No, he is a great bloke.
And I one thing I wanted to talk about on this podcast was I don't actually think people realize how much work Mike does on the show.
Oh,
and
thanks,
that the show would not be what it is today without Mike or James or anyone behind the scenes. And it's something
man.
That I never realized before I even got into radio as well, how much of a team sport it is. Mm. I was like, just going to be Lewis and I being funny. It's not that at all. That's like maybe 40% of it is like Lewis and I being funny and what you actually hear on radio. I would say like for those who don't know, the basic things, we always go, yeah, he pushes the buttons. Mm. That's like a quarter of your job is like on air, I think.
Oh, thanks, man. Like, I mean, like you and Lewis are like two completely phenomenal performers, and I say to you guys every time, like, I have no idea.
Look at this, just
how you
Luke
come
and Mike
with...
just sucking each other off.
No, like, I'm like, I can't believe how like, because I've filled in on your show, like, when you were sick and when Lewis was sick, and like, I just struggled to think of stuff. I'm like, how do you guys do this every day?
You're good. If you haven't listened to the show, like, Mike's filled in of like a few shows where Lewis and I have been away or whatever, and I think it's funny, like, And it doesn't, and no one's expecting someone who isn't usually behind the mic to be like this king, but you have done radio in the past. It's not like you're new to it.
Yeah.
You're
I've
radio
done community
literally
radio.
Every night on Fox, but just in like 15 seconds stints.
Yeah. I like it. It's funny. Like a lot of people, I didn't realize this till I got into radio as well, but there's actually so much behind the scenes stuff that gets built. Like,
so if you don't know, Mike does our podcast for one. So if the podcast isn't up on time, to forward all complaints, not to me, I get them all the time. Please forward them straight to radio.mike and Instagram. While you're there, chuck him a block. You know what
or
the annoying?
Follow.
No, you know what? You know what the annoying part is? Heaps of people go, "Hey man, where's the podcast?" I'm like, "I don't know, man. Message Radio Mike," and they go, "I can't. I blocked him on Instagram." So they go like, "Can you tell him?" And I'm like, "Oh, just." Like unblock him, tell him, and then block him again.
Yeah.
Just if you don't know,
unblock
that's...
me, ask me something, and then re-block once I've responded. Yeah. But if I suspect you're doing that, I'll block you first.
Yeah.
So
Mike has started doing that for a bit. If he thinks people are going to block him, then Mike will come in with a block. It's a preemptive block, and it's a good strategy.
Yes.
So what else do you do? You do the podcast for a show. Mike edits heaps of audio before the show. Like the other day, this was 2 days ago, Mike got given such a shit move by us.
No.
A 40-minute audio package of me and Lewis recording a song that went. And it was like 45-minute audio package of us in a recording studio recording it. And then our producer, Tom, who's filling in for James over these next 2 weeks, is like... He was like, yeah, Mike, can you, he's the executive producer of Hughesy and Kate. He's like a big dog in the radio industry. And I guess he has like high expectations for productivity and getting shit done.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I was like, that's cool, man, Mike, I'll help you. Like I can edit on my computer. It will take half an hour, whatever. And then he's like, nah, Luke, I want you to be focusing on the performance aspect of the show. And then he's like, Mike, can you handle that? And it took you like an hour and a half. And you're just sitting in a corner trolling through 40 minutes of shit trying to get 2 good minutes worth of content for the radio. And I don't think people get that. When you hear a little package on the radio, that's taken an hour at least to produce.
There are people whose jobs full-time is to make those packages in radio.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many like crazy audio producers that work in radio that build these things.
Yeah, and like they literally spend, they literally work full time to build maybe 5 minutes of audio a day
that might not even get to air in the end.
Yes, and Mike has kind of taken on board because we don't have an audio producer on our show because we're a low budget show still. We're still a development show, so Mike is. But seriously, the show would not be what it is without Mike, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. So
there's also stuff like people think, oh, you know, when we do a phoner on air, we just put all the calls that come through on air. But like James actually, there's actually a craft to, you know, how is this going to play out on air? What order do we put these callers in?
And not even that. It's like sometimes if you do a good phoner and you can light up the board, which is means you fill up the board with calls, which is like 10 to 15 is the most it can take.
Yeah.
And then as soon as one person hangs up, another person will come too. Because so many people listening to the radio, there's always so many people trying to call through.
Mm.
Even just that filtering process of content is like, because you get people who are on speakerphone going, oh yeah, I got a story about my, and you're just like, well, we can't use that on air, hang up. And then they've literally got it. And I've seen it done on, like one time we watched Hamish and Andy go to air and it was insane. As soon as they said 13:10:60,
the
boards light up in like half a second.
Yeah.
And then the next 4 minutes in the song is spent filtering through hundreds and hundreds of calls, getting the best three to air. And that, so obviously like people go, oh my God, like Hamish and Andy, like, yes, they are the most talented. I truly believe they are the most talented radio performers in Australia.
I agree.
Wholeheartedly. But not until I got into radio and watched them do their show, I realized 50% of the reason why their show is successful is because the team behind the show is phenomenal. Sam Kavanagh, Marshy, Jack, who helps a lot. People don't realize Jack actually helps a lot creatively with the show.
Yeah.
But the team that gets them to air every single day, that's the reason. Because they give them the three most entertaining callers out of like 100.
Out of so many.
Which makes it so much easier for the on-air team to make it good radio.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like when you're in your car just flicking through the radio, like you have no idea how much hours have gone into every second.
Yeah, I never had appreciation for like radio until I started doing it. And why would you? It's a free thing.
It's fleeting.
There's no value on radio because it's free and it's in your car and it can be on or off. It doesn't matter to some people.
Every idea that you guys come up with, there's like, you know, minimum 10 minutes, but usually way more of discussion around how are you going to do that on air?
Yeah.
What sounds do we need? Do we need it to be a call? Do we need to be a phoner? Do we need it to be a package?
Like how are we going to present this idea on air?
It's not just like Luke and Lewis rock up at 10 p.m. before their show starts and turn the mics on.
My friends think that. They're like, oh man, you're so lucky you work for 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I'm
it's not that
for our 10, but like right now it's just before 7 p.m. Before our last Thursday show this week.
Yeah.
This will be released next Monday. But so like we'll, as soon as we finish this podcast, we go upstairs and we just start planning the show, and that's a 3 hour process.
Then
it's 2 hours on air, and then it's half an hour meeting afterwards, which sometimes can go into an hour.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-8 hour day.
Yeah.
For a 2 hour radio show.
Yeah. People don't see that.
And then people like, oh, and like people that listen to this podcast get it because I talk about it all the time because I do nothing else in my life. But then like, for example, I get up tomorrow morning, I have this audition thing in the city, then we've got James's birthday thing. That's the one break all week. I've had that one break scheduled in all week of like, that's when I can put my feet up for like 3 hours. And then I'm like, so Friday is like my only break, but all week it's been like videos,
stand up,
whatever, and then 8 hours of radio. And then that becomes like a 16-hour day, which is a fucked way to live your life. But
it's worth it though. Like I reckon every time...
But you do that too. Like, people don't realize, like, Mike, you, like, need to start saying no to stuff.
Yeah.
Mike's a yes man.
You're a classic yes man,
which is the best way for anyone who wants to make it in anything is, for the first 3 years of my career, I said yes to everything.
That's the same as me,
It's man. Only in the last 6 months that you start saying no.
Mm.
Because you're like, okay, I can't fill these things.
It in, yeah. But it's worth it because I get such a thrill from being in the studio. The song's about to end. I say mic's on. And then I personally, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be really, really funny and I'm going to laugh a lot. And then there's so much adrenaline in studio, especially at the moment on the Fox show, because I feel like it's just new territory for you guys. It's really, really exciting.
Well, it's new territory for all of us. That's the thing. I don't even consider it like... the show, I know it's me and Lewis on the poster, but when people go like, oh, like, you know, like it's, oh, it's to me, in my head, it's not the Luke and Lewis show. Mm. It's like the Luke, Lewis, Mike, James, Todd show. And you know
cool
what I mean?
It's cool that we've built like a really it's good like, team that can work efficiently.
Yeah, like we have a camera guy called Todd who's just recently joined the team. So if you ever see a video online, that's not us, that's Todd. Because again, it got to the point where we couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because we had too much other shit on. But yeah, that's something... Well, I wanted to get you on the podcast. A, you're the most... Did you know, by the way, let's go through this. You were the most requested guest on this podcast.
Yeah, you sent me the screenshot. That's hilarious.
I want to see who you beat out, just quickly.
Probably everyone, I imagine. But the thing is, you have access to a lot of people who would be way better than me. So I have no idea.
Pardon? No, like, I don't really.
Well, we had Dilrock on the show last night. And Lewis is like, oh yeah, I just texted him and asked him. Like,
yeah, Dilrock, dry singer.
He'd be great on the podcast.
Won a Logie. I don't know, but it's like... Yeah, I mean, hopefully, we'll. But this isn't a guest podcast. I just only have like my mates on. Really.
Yeah, that's true.
So you won with 149 votes. The second best was 68.
Who was that?
You beat out the Fairbairn boys, Lachlan. You've met Fairbairns.
That's no surprise. No, I'm joking, Lachlan, before. Yeah, those guys are great. I've only met Lachlan, but I love their videos.
You've beat out Peter Pigeon.
Is that meme from upstairs where there was the pigeons outside the office?
No. That was Greg the seagull. Unless. Snapchat, there used to be a seagull who was called Greg and he used to sit in the balcony and one we thought he died because he ate a whole chicken wing. Do you remember I filmed him trying to scoff down a chicken wing? If you don't follow my Snapchat, I watched this for 10 minutes one day. We used to have our office up near this balcony on the second floor of the building.
Yeah.
I watched this seagull try and deep throat a chicken wing for 10 minutes and it couldn't get it down. I thought it was going to die.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I just wanted to let nature run its course. I didn't want to interfere with Greg. I was like, look, Greg might eat chicken bones. And then I was thinking,
If it's Greg's time, it's Greg's time.
Is that incest? Because it's like chicken and seagull.
Different species, though.
Yeah.
Is it? Like if you ate a gorilla.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. you beat out Peter Pigeon. No, Peter Pigeon was the pigeon we were trying to find down at the Yarra on this podcast. Right. We did a live podcast trying to find
Peter Pigeon. He'd be tough to get on, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah,
he's pretty busy doing press.
Migrated abroad. Yeah. And,
so he'd be hard to track down.
And I still haven't released the Peter Pigeon interview, much to the disgust of the people who listen to this podcast. But
I bet.
Guys, I keep on saying the world's not ready. All right. And you beat out Reese Maston, who was four.
How'd I beat him? He'd be great.
Yeah, he would be great.
Get him on eventually.
I will get Reese on eventually. This is who I voted for. I actually didn't vote for you. I'm sorry.
Damn.
I voted for Osher Gunsberg because I really want to interview him.
And he reposted your Insta, didn't he?
He did. He noticed me the other night on Instagram, which I haven't bragged about yet in the podcast. So thanks so much for bringing that up, man.
Go for it now if you want.
So it was during the Logies. I was watching on TV with my parents and... There was a great shot that just stayed on Osher's side fringe of his hair. Mm. And everyone knows that Osher Gunsberg has the best hair in Australia. And you know he spends 2 hours on it?
Really?
Before every TV piece he does.
That's actually, I spend about an hour and a half on mine.
And you can tell.
I know.
And you can tell, if you spend another half an hour of that Osher prep, that you could probably do a little more with it.
But I don't have time.
No, you're
Osher's
a busy guy.
Osher's not as busy as me.
That's true.
I've got so much going on. I'm in talks to host a Channel 10 TV show, actually, but I can't talk about it.
Is it called The Bachelor? You would be a great bachelor, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm thinking me and Lewis were considering chucking Ten an email for an audition.
Didn't you nominate me for the X Factor London?
We did try and get Mark on the X Factor, but then we realized we auditioned him for X Factor London, and the auditions were in the middle of London. We were like, it's probably not worth the $2,000 flight.
Yeah.
But, you know...
If I'm the next big thing, it would be easily reimburse you once I've released my first LP.
It's a lot of trust I have for a guy who has a half singing scholarship at a private school in Melbourne.
I was hoping you'd bring this up. Can we talk about that?
Well, quickly? Can I finish talking about Osher?
I did a
Snapchat story zooming up on his head on TV that said, perfect haircuts don't exist. You know that meme where you cut it off? Because it does exist because he has a perfect haircut. Mm. And then he put my story on his story and tagged me. And I was like, Osher knows who I am. Dream achieved.
Dude,
I can
that's
die
so
happy,
cool.
man.
I've never had anyone repost my story, but that's probably because my stories are so like...
They're usually just of us.
Yeah, they're usually just of you guys. So it's weird you guys don't actually repost them. Anyway, I can't make you guys do anything.
Hang on. Before we get to your singing scholarship, You also beat out a Sunday heist reunion, which was getting my old high school band on the podcast. That'd be a pretty good potty.
That would be amazing. I'd love to hear
Emily,
that.
Who was a past guest. Jeff, you beat out Jeff, man. Well done.
Just generally, yeah. My name, Jeff.
Yeah. Cool. You beat out Lewis. I don't know why people wanted to hear Lewis. That would be the worst podcast ever.
You should get me and Lewis on. And we'll do it in here.
Yeah. It would just be the radio show.
Into 6 4-minute
That's what
segments.
I think people get. Like, it's just the radio show. I mean, I'll get Lewis on when he's got something to plug. But Lewis will probably later in the year. You beat Jacob Sartorius, Khaled, any cheeky muff, and a God forbidden Jets rat with 16 votes. So well done, man. You really, you have quite a popular. It was definitely, you won the people's vote. And I hope this podcast is worth it.
I do too. For this radio mic. Do you think it is so far?
I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay, cool.
But now it's really going to kick into a gear because we're going to get into Mike's 50% singing scholarship to St. Kevin's.
Yes. Don't say the name of my school. I don't want people to be able to backtrack and verify if I had the scholarship or not, which I did.
Don't worry, no one will.
I think I'm going to do an Instagram where I reckon my parents still have like the invoice for my school fees where it says like less 50% choir scholarship.
So you really just paid still double the amount that I paid for public school.
Yeah, I mean,
Your parents still paid too much.
I went to like an elite private school on a half scholarship for singing.
Do your parents feel like, well, not really your parents, but do you feel like shit about that? Because I went to a shitty public school and now we're in exactly the same position.
Well, it's funny you say that.
But I would say you are smarter than me. How do you pronounce the car company Peugeot?
Peugeot. But when I was a kid, I used to say Pidgeot, like that Pokemon, because it was kind of spelt similar.
That's better than Pugot.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
I said Pugot.
I was just associating some of the letters with a Pokemon I saw.
A European car company with it.
I was like, hey, Dad, there's a Pidgeot. And it didn't look anything like a Pidgeot.
Yeah. And then when the car evolves, it's a Pidgeot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like when I was at school, when I was at high school, because I was in this environment of like academia and like my school was like, you're either good at academics.
Is that the right word? What, academia?
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know. I just got hungry and started thinking of macadamias.
No. So I was in this environment.
And this is what you learn at a private school.
I was in a very academic environment and my school was kind of like, you're either smart or you're really good at sport.
Yeah.
Right? Like you play footy or you get A pluses. And like, what I found was when I left school, I didn't actually like know what I wanted and I had like gotten a decent result, but I didn't like, I knew when I was at school that I wanted.
Does anyone know what they want to do?
Well, I don't know, but I
went. Everyone thinks they do. And then they do like a year of the degree.
Yeah. Like, you
oh, psychology sucks. And then they drop out.
That's me. I went to Melbourne.
Cause you do it in year 12 and you're like, oh, I was good at that.
Yeah. I went to Melbourne Uni and I did well at psychology. So I did an arts degree.
Did you actually do that?
Majoring psychology. Yeah. I did that for a year and I made a few like really, really good like lifelong friends, but I dropped out after a year because I went there and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I hate it. And I knew at school that like, I thought I wanted to be like a writer, like a journalist or something. Like, I always thought I was good at writing and then.
But you are.
Yeah.
You're like funny.
Yeah. I mean,
you're creative. Not many people even have a way with words and even speaking.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like I then enrolled in a media degree at RMIT. Right. And I did that for 3 years.
So you're progressively getting closer to radio.
Yeah. And then halfway through that degree, someone's like, hey, like I'm going to join SYN, which is that community radio show station we talked about. And then I just joined it and I like loved it. And it was the first time I could like make content and write and like do on air stuff.
Do
and I just
all
loved
the things
it.
You wanted to do.
Yeah. And then I was like, God, like, I can't believe I found
the thing.
I felt like I found my people a bit. Like,
yes.
I'd never been around creative people before.
That's what I felt like. Like, I had really funny friends and still do. Like, all my high school mates, like, you've met some of them. Like, Tyler and stuff. Like, they're Stefan. They're really funny.
Simo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't throw Simo with the likes of creative work.
He's funny, but I don't know if he knows he's funny.
I don't
funny.
Think he knows it yet. And he'll hear this and be really offended right now.
Yeah.
But no, Simo, man, hey, we think you're funny, man. Keep doing you. Mm. But yeah, like I would say I genuinely already surrounded myself with funny people. Mm. But then as soon as I started comedy and then met like Lewis and like, I was talking about the other day, like even you and like all these people, I was like, oh man, there's people like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like I belonged. Like I just always felt like I was, like everyone used to be like, oh, Luke's so funny. And that made me like weird because I was like, the outsider. It was a good thing that I was funny, but it also set me apart from everyone else.
I don't know if it's funniness, but I think it's creativity that sets you apart. Like, some people are funny, but they're not necessarily creative. Like, they don't have a drive to, like, make things and, like, do stuff and share it and stuff, which obviously you have.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's why I'm in this and James and Todd as well. No, it's not even a show-off. I mean, you are a show-off, but...
Yeah.
That was a joke. Obviously a bad one.
It's not really a joke. It's true.
But, like...
I think every comedian is.
Yeah. And, like, that's why I love your show a lot, because I think there's a really good kind of bouncing back and forth of ideas and how do we make this the funniest for air or the best for air?
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to make us laugh or make you guys laugh, which will make me laugh, which makes James laugh, you know, like...
It's literally it's us, like, you forget about how many thousands of people are seeing in their car, and it's literally like, how do we have fun in here as a team? Yeah. Which is why our show is very inward. People might know this, but, like, it's like radio terminology of inward and outward content.
Mm.
Outward content would be, like, something you've seen in the news, something about The Bachelor, something that you listening to this would already know about. So, like, we talk about whatever's on the front page of the Herald Sun. That's quite outward content. Inward is when we do a thing like, our Drake meme, Savoy thing. It's very inward. It's like, we started that joke. Oh, that was a bit of both, because everyone is familiar with the biscuit, which is why that took off.
Yeah, but it became like...
That was such an accidental thing, the Savoy thing.
And that's why I think it was such a
good
thing.
That was one break that I wasn't even going to bring to air, but it was one of those things where we're like, oh, dude, we need to talk. Like, it was like 2 minutes to go on air, and we're like, oh my God, what do we talk about? And I was like, well, some guy downstairs at the supermarket just accused me of being a Jats rat, and I was so offended.
Yeah. And then we were like, oh, why don't we, like, approach Arnott's and see if we can get them? And I was messaging, like...
And I thought, again, that's what... Because when you... And again, I know it's not now thinking, like, that's not out of their league.
Mm.
But, like, I was like, dude, we'll never get onto anyone at Arnott's. Yeah. Like, I thought they were celebrities. I'm like, they make the best biscuits in Australia.
Yeah, they're not going to come on our show. Yeah. But, like... Yeah, and I, like, messaged all these people from Arnott's. I was calling them. Finally, Renee got onto me. And then we ended up with the 60 boxes.
We ended up getting sent them, and then we ended up getting 100, which we're still working our way through.
I calculate, like, if a box of Savoy's is, like, $3, 100 times 3, that's 360 times 3, that's 180. That's $580 worth of Savoy's.
Yeah, and plus one packet of clicks.
Yeah, which for is another $4.
Fix. Yeah.
That's a lot of money that they just threw at this show.
Yeah, well, we gave them the best marketing they've ever seen. Yeah. Do you know, I still get like 5 Snapchats a day of people like telling, like, sending Savoy's over to their friends in South Australia, them all trying them for the first time, and then, like, reviewing them compared to Jats.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I can't believe how those things, like, even the Reese Maston dance that didn't really get on air, kind of did with Fist Pump Fridays, like, but I couldn't believe...
But it did get on air.
Yeah, you're right, it did.
It became such a part of our show. It became such a cult thing around Luke and Lewis, but never on air until we actually got in contact with Reese, until the birthday surprise.
And I can't believe... The Christmas surprise it was.
The Christmas
the
surprise,
I can't believe, like, when we were in... Because we started in October, right?
Yeah.
And when you guys were in there in October, did you think you'd get, like, Reese Maston on?
Well, I don't think we'd even started that joke yet. That started when we're in here.
And you're like, and then we're there on the day and we're doing this stupid dance.
It was just crazy. The day that I got the radio show was the day my life became weird.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, because all my mates now were like, dude, your life's so weird. Like, because I was telling them, I was like, what'd you do? Like, it was the night after we went out with Reese. I had another mate's birthday.
Mm.
Like, so what'd you get up to last night, man? And I was like, oh, we were celebrating, like, the last Modern Digital show.
Yeah.
And because these are mates I've known since year 7 and stuff. Yeah, so they're not, they don't give a shit. And it's annoying. Do you know what the worst thing is? When you get recognized when you're out with them, because they'll just go, oh, like, oh, Mr. Famous. They call me Mr. Famous. It sucks. They go, oh, Mr. Famous.
Yeah, yeah. I'm nowhere near as recognized as you at all. But, like, when I see old people from high school that I haven't seen for a while, they're like, oh, Radio Mike, cool, man. I'm like, all right.
But anyway, they were just saying how, like, I was like, oh, yeah, we, like, went out with Reese Maston last time. We got super, like, smashed.
It's crazy.
And we were, like, all getting, like, it was great. It was an awesome night. And, like, it was, like, Reese's and his whole crew.
Yeah.
And we're, like, dancing. It was just the weirdest thing. And then I sat down the next day and I was like, yeah, my life's just, like, if you had told me 3 months ago
you'd be doing that
I was just doing that, it's just like, it's not even the, like, oh, it's someone who's been on TV before. It's more just like, how left of field is that?
Yeah.
Like, a guy who was on a talent show, then became our favorite human being in the world. And then ironically, but then actually became like a really good mate and a good person to be around, because he's actually a ripping bloke, which I think everyone's now realised.
I totally agree.
It's
man.
Just like, bizarre. And now with the Amy Shark thing as well.
We
don't know yet, but we're hoping to get her on the show and stuff.
Yeah.
After this Amy Shark says hi things, and who knows if she'll do it, but like, it's just stuff like that where it's like, she's been on like Jimmy Fallon and like James Corden. She's pretty famous.
Like,
and we met Rita Ora in the corridor.
Rita Ora, and like, I don't know, like even...
It's not even like fame, but it's like, it's just so weird because it's like...
It's weird. Like I never set out to do all this shit.
Yeah, I just wanted to do stand-up.
But I think they're the best moments on your show. And like, like I watched Reese Maston win the X Factor in 2008.
So did I.
And then like, who would have thought 10 years later...
We'd be having beers with him.
He's bringing over a tray full of shots and saying, guys, we're doing shots. Like, and that's why I get my phone out. I'm like, I have... like. It would be a disservice to everyone that knows me to not do an Instagram story
this.
About this.
Yeah.
Like, by proxy and like by association with your show and you and Lewis, like, yeah, my life's gotten
it's not even like, it's just bizarre. Like, we're talking to our producer Tom the other day, because it's just like, it's a job. At the end of the day, it's like, we were talking about last night, like fame is like such a construct where it's like, we were talking about, is there anyone who would actually get starstruck around?
Yeah.
And it's only people who I really respect.
Yeah.
For example, came out last week on my podcast that said Panic at the Disco was my favorite band. I would actually get starstruck around Brendan Urie. The guys from Blink-182.
Yeah, if I'm... My dream is to meet Mark from Blink-182.
But like Hugh Jackman, someone who I just admire and go like, wow, I like Wolverine.
Yeah.
I just think he seems like such a down-to-earth dude.
I agree.
I'd probably just fist bump him, be like, hey man, it's great to meet you. Mm. I just don't think I'd be nervous at all. Even like Kim Kardashian, I'd be like, I don't care enough about you to even be starstruck.
Yeah, like if I met someone like Mark from Blink-182, he's like my favorite person in the world. I reckon he's the only person left that could make me starstruck.
Well, mate, you might be meeting Amy Shark, who has a song with Mark Hoppus. So that's by association.
Dude,
you're getting closer to Mark Hoppus.
I know.
Dude, you guys better organize Brendan Urie to surprise me on the show when they come to Australia.
We're already working on it.
I don't think you are.
Just ruined the surprise. Haha, pranked ya. Anyway.
Ready Mike's classic pranks. Before we finish the podcast, because we do need to go play on the radio show.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite thing about what you do? Now, you don't have to say our show. Obviously, you work with Hamish and Annie, who are the biggest people in radio. What's the favorite thing about what you do professionally?
My favorite thing...
Or it could be unprofessionally. If jigsaw puzzles is really takes the cake, then...
Dude, did you ever play the game Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4?
Yeah. No. 1 to 3 and never touched 4.
Dude, 4 was incredible.
Really?
I'm telling you, go and play 4.
But like 2 and 3 with like Canada and all those like Tokyo levels, that were dope, those maps, man.
I'm just saying.
Rio de Janeiro, where there's that secret bit where you grind to the secret bit, man.
Never played 3. Is that in 2 or 3? I played 2. Well, anyway, that's the unprofessional one. It's a great game. It's so much fun.
Right.
My favorite part about what I do...
We should play Tony Hawk sometime, man.
Dude,
I never knew that about you, that you're also a big Tony Hawk fan.
In 4, you can play as Jango Fett. He's like one of the unlockable characters.
Yeah, I played as that. And you can also play as Darth Maul in one of them.
Yeah,
and Shrek.
And you can play as Shrek.
You play Shrek. Yeah, don't worry. I've been there, done that.
Dude, it's crazy. If you told me, literally, 2 years ago...
A year ago. Like, we didn't even know each other a year ago. And that's so weird how,
feels like so much has happened.
Well, we're just like, mate, I don't want to get deep, but you are obviously one of my best friends. So it's because we hang out every single day.
Yeah.
And you're the only person who reciprocates in my name, Jeff. So I'm like, hey, you're pretty high in my books, man.
It's a shame. I had the list of off-air memes that I was going to bring up.
Do we have it?
Yeah, I've got it in my emails.
Yeah, please.
All right,
bring it up.
Hang on, just 2 secs.
Hang on, Mike is just going through his backpack. So what this is people may have realized, and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, which was like the Jeff and Big Spaghetti thing. I was like, I'm sick of when our behind-the-scenes memes get public. Like, there's so many things. Like, again, because people don't realize, like what we're talking about earlier, we spend so much time together, like 10 hours to 8 hours a day, that when you spend that much time with anyone, you got nothing else to talking about. So you just start doing shit jokes.
So I'll just quickly answer your question. So working with people like you and Lewis, who are like really creative people that really involve their team, is amazing. But then also like something like working with Hamish and Andy and Jack is crazy, because like, you know, I grew up watching them and I love them. And yeah, I'm a fan, but I also love their show and I love your show. But being able to talk to someone like Jack or someone like Hamish or Andy and actually have a legitimate conversation about radio, about the industry, about media.
Yeah.
I think that's something that like I don't take for granted, and I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause and like there's so many people in this industry that are willing to like help young people, and like I think that's my
favorite
one
thing
part.
I was so surprised about was like how much people actually want to get involved in our show and see a future in it and like actually back it and be like, nah, this you're onto a good thing, which I hope we are, but who knows. That's why I like we do spend, that's what keeps me coming in for 8 hours a day,
yeah,
because like we have other shit going on outside radio, so like we don't not that we don't need this. Like before we did this, we already had a fan base, blah blah blah,
yeah,
but this has been like what I wanted to do from day one.
Yeah, right.
I originally started radio, like stand up to get into radio.
Yeah.
And then realized I like stand up more. But now I'm like, oh shit, radio's still like the dream job.
And you guys are killing it. And then and also I forgot to mention
Will. So it's
just
the people you work with.
Yeah. Yeah, people like Will and Sam Kavanagh, who's another just amazing mind, and heaps of people. I'm sure I'm forgetting heaps of people who have helped me along the way. But yeah, off air memes, just quickly before
that. So now we get into the real stuff of the podcast, which is the off air memes. So when did what was the first meme? Do you remember what the first meme was of our show?
There was one that, I don't know if you guys remember this, but for a while, every time you guys said Triple M Modern Digital off air, you'd both go, Triple M Modern Digital. And I don't know.
No. It was Triple M Modern Digital.
Yeah,
because
that's it.
We were ashamed of being
like
on a digital.
Gotcha.
Triple M sounded cool, and then digital wasn't. So we were like Triple M, and that one came on air. That one,
yeah, that
was
one
on
went
the show.
To air. So some do slip through the cracks.
Some. We really try and keep all these off air, so you guys don't hear about them.
Yeah.
But I guess now it all will be revealed. There's probably a few people right now rubbing their hands going, this is what I've been waiting all for, right. The shit meme team.
So the first one is one that's, it's relatively recent.
If you're not following what's happening, Mike's actually in the last week has started writing them down because he never wants to forget them.
Yeah. So I want to look back on these when I'm 80. When I'm 80, I'm not going to listen to the podcast of this show. I'm just going to remember these memes, which is why I'm doing this. So there's one that's,
You're going to remind me of some.
It's getting pretty late.
Oh, yeah, man.
For some reason, like,
I forget how that one started.
I don't know how it started, but anytime anyone on the team would say something like, hey, guys, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, Lewis would just go, look at a watch that he didn't have.
So,
on his
wrist. Look at your wrist of where a watch would have been. And you go, oh, man,
it's getting pretty late. I might go.
No. It's more like you use it when it's like someone needs to, like, go away. Because, like, if you're getting sick of someone, you're like, so say if someone's like, oh, man, like, if someone's getting on your nerves and you're like, oh, look, you know, look, I have to duck off. And you go, yeah, look, dude, it's getting pretty late. You should probably go. I don't know why that's funny. It's that's the thing. When you explain these, they're not fucking funny.
They're not funny. But when you do them, in the moment,
but when
so
you
funny.
Do them, like, 20, 30 times an hour, it's very funny.
Then there's
have you got slapping the wall? Remember?
I completely forgot that.
So say if, like, there was a thing that was funny.
No, it was when someone would go for a high five because something was funny, and then Lewis started it by he'd purposely miss you and just slap the wall.
Yeah, you just slap anything. So say if it's like you go to
high five.
High five
me, like, oh, well, okay, this is the video. Okay, so like.
Yeah, but then it got to a point where, like, I remember when we went to New Zealand, we were slapping the car roof of, like, if anything was funny. So say if, like, someone said something shit, you'd just go, and then, like, everyone would just die laughing as you'd slap a wall.
Oh, dude. Oh, that was great. I forgot all about that one. The other one is minutes or minutes. So I'd always be
we still do this, or seconds.
And it annoys me. Like, I'll always be like, because I have to give the boys times, like, when they're coming back. So I'll be like, all right, guys, 1 minute. And then I think this is, Lewis usually starts all of them because he's such a dickhead. And he's just like, he'd be like, minutes or minutes? And then, like,
and
how do you respond to that?
And like, then you're like, minutes. And he's like, great.
What's a minute? How many minutes is a minute?
No, but then it evolves. So Lewis will do that. And then you're like, 40 seconds. And I was like, seconds or seconds? And then it's like, 40 seconds is not a second.
Okay.
We were doing that last night.
The next one was a really long running one, which was Mark Stevens, which for some reason...
So whenever you'd pick up a phone, you'd be like, hello, this is Mark Stevens. Why?
I think because you were talking about someone called Mark, and I was like, oh, like Mark Stevens. Like, I don't even know where I got it from. Is he a real person?
I think he's a journalist.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, Mark Stevens. And then Lewis just started every time I said... I literally like, hey guys, like, how are you? And Lewis would just be like, sorry, mate. Hello, this is Mark Stevens.
It was mid-conversation, like no matter what the other person was talking about, you just pretend you're taking a phone call and go, hello, this is Mark Stevens. And it was the funniest thing in the world. And then it completely derailed every conversation we have in a planning meeting. Because we'd be like, guys, what are the ideas for the show? And Lewis would be like, hello, this is Mark Stevens. And then we'd have like a 3-minute fake phone conversation with a guy called Mark Stevens who wasn't on the phone. This is why, like, I don't know. Like, here's the thing.
This is the last one,
you've got way more.
Oh, I'm just conscious of time. It's up to you.
Jeff and Big Spaghetti. Yeah, that's the show that you are.
Yeah, you've talked about this. But sorry.
We've never talked about Sideshow Raheem.
Sorry.
He's the panel off.
For some reason, I called in sick once. Like, I wasn't really sick, but the boys were always like pranking me and doing stuff. So I called in once. I'm like, hey guys, I'm feeling sick. So I've asked Sideshow Raheem.
What do you
to
mean?
Do
you did this? Like 2 hours ago when I was like, hey man, are you in the building so we can do the podcast? And you're like, nah man, I'm sick. My mum doesn't want us to hang out today. You still do this.
But yeah, Raheem is just this character I've made up that's there's a character in The Simpsons called Sideshow Raheem.
I thought it was because you wanted to call your first nickname before Radio Mike was Sideshow Mike.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to be Sideshow Mike, which sucked. That was based on Sideshow. I'm a massive Simpsons fan. Yeah, message me any Simpsons content. Sideshow
Bob. Just block him.
Just block me. And then Sideshow Bob, you guys hated it. And then I changed my name to Radio Mike, which was based on, there's an episode of The Simpsons called Radio Bart. So I was like, okay, Radio Bart, I'll be Radio Mike. And then that just kind of stuck. Yeah. I also wanted to be Mike's on Mike for a while as well.
Mike's on Mike sucks because that's way too long. And then you happen to change your Instagram handle to radio.mike, which you can block, by the way.
And then Raheem came out of that. Like, hey guys, Radio Mike isn't in today, so Sideshow Raheem's going to do it.
This is the shittest one on here. Oh! So there's one where we just go, oh, and then clap. Why? I don't even get that one. I just do it all the time, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, literally.
That's a recent one.
You can literally just walk up to anyone and go, oh, and then they'll just do it back.
And then,
it's this kind of garbage, which is the only reason why I keep rocking up.
Probably the most recent one is, July Fools.
What about the pizza dance? That was the one I made up.
Oh, yeah. One day,
Todd and I were having pizza before the show, and people were like, oh, they're back. And I was like, guys, we got some pizza. And it's where people watching the video will be frothing this, but everyone listening is like, what are they doing? We are, I don't even know how to describe this. We're swaying our hips, putting our arms up, and I don't know, just watch
you
the
kind
video.
Of move just your shoulders side to side.
Yeah.
But also your, like, your waist.
Hey, can someone watching the video make this into a GIF for the podcast group of me and Mike doing the pizza dance? That'd be great. All right, we've done it enough now. Yeah. You can gift that. But look, there's been literally 50. There's been way more than this.
I need to keep working on the list and then I'll publish it in a book with a description of all of them.
Of shit memes.
I could probably do that.
Mark Stevens, I'm trying to think of more. I don't know. There's been too many.
I don't know. Human Shrek, but that's more on air.
That's the thing. Some of them end up on air. Like, most of these things we start off air. Like, Amy Shark Said Hi was a thing we were doing. Like, we were calling each other at, like, stupid hours of the day. Like, 1 a.m. in the morning. Like, hey, man, leaving each other voicemails. Like, Amy Shark Says Hi, pass it on. And then, like, that's how all these things start. It's us just doing shit. And then some of them, I was like, guys, I think we should film a video because this is funny.
Yeah, and that was such a good video as well.
But, Mike, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Dude, thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. I hope now people understand the true Mike story now. And perhaps this is just the start. This might be chapter one of your biography.
Yeah, the biopic, Radio Mike, the true story of a radio underdog who remained an underdog.
It is the most underdog story of all time. Maybe not.
I mean, I mean, I'm sure there's more underdog stories than that.
I mean, yeah, you're a white privileged male who went to an elite private school who ended up getting the job of his dreams. Well, what an
underdog. It was set up for him to fail from the start.
You had to overcome so much to be here, man. Congratulations. But yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on. Hope people know a little bit more about what you do on our radio show and a bit more about one of my closest buddies.
The lucky world of Mike. That's what we call it that from now on.
I think we just call it the Radio Mike episode.
All right, cool.
Great. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add for the end of the podcast? Or
You can follow me on Instagram.
Is there anything you need to plug? Like, yeah, do anything?
My Instagram,
Are you going to be starting a podcast soon?
Maybe.
Well, let's say
I've got a concept.
There may be a Radio Mike podcast in the pipeline. So if you want a spin-off podcast from the Luke and Lewis show,
yeah.
Mike's got that sorted. You're still working on the concept as of
yeah.
now. Don't even give it away, man. Keep them hanging.
Otherwise, can I plug like podcasts I like?
No.
Do you want me to
absolutely
not detract the audience
yeah,
away from you? Right.
Definitely.
I don't like
that.
Any podcast except this one and Luke and Lewis.
Yeah, great.
And all the other ones I work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philosophy and
Hamish and Andy's another good one.
Yeah.
Just listen to all
no,
the
No, don't
I
tell
them
to listen to that because that's way better than this.
Yours is good. They're all good.
Oh, it's not that good. That's the whole appeal. it's actually
making shit content.
shit content, but doing it regularly enough for people to keep coming back. And you know what? The people who listen to this every week, hey, I wouldn't do it, but I really appreciate it. All right, guys, I will see you next week. Mike, give us the final sentence of the podcast.
Hey, how are ya? I don't know.